Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. Second week of the month, and as always, we find ourselves in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Joe. It's good to be here today. It just these months go so quickly. It just seems like we just did this, but a lot of stuff's happened since last time, and just appreciate the opportunity.
I know. And are the leaves starting to change there as they are over here? Starting to really be beautiful out there.
Yeah, starting to see some brilliant colors. I mean, it just starting to turn that I'm seeing, but I think it's going to be a pretty fall.
Yeah, it's a wonderful time of the year. Speaking of that time of the year, budget approved, I hear, and big news. I'm sure you're really glad to have that off your back for now.
Yeah, you know, the budget process is pretty intensive for, you know, a city of our size. It's just, I mean, it's a multi-month process. And to get to the end of that and get another unanimous vote, I think that's 5 years in a row of having a unanimous vote from the council. It's our eighth straight year of having a balanced budget. Went up about 8% over last year. We're giving 4% raises to our employees. And then our supply costs, our diesel fuel, you know, unleaded fuel, utility costs, those are kind of the big areas that went up in the budget. You know, no, looking at this year's actuals, we had some make some last minute changes on that. Just inflation, you know, kind of related things primarily. So I feel really good about the budget. I think we were very conservative on our revenue estimates, and you know, and we were solid on our expenses or what we need to spend. And the council agreed with that and approved it very quickly. It was great to have, you know, very little discussion about that. We had leading up to it, we had discussion, but everybody was good to go last week and we got it approved. And now we take a sigh, you know, a little bit of a breath, I guess, of completing that one. But it's like, okay, now how do we finish strong for the rest of this year financially and making sure we're doing everything we need to do to collect all the revenue we can and make sure we're only spending the things we need to spend on so we have a great finish to this year.
Well, and then you're still looking at how to spend the ARPA funds too, right?
Yes. We did not put anything in the budget for ARPA. We're going to bring that as a separate appropriation to the council. We may have a small one this year, but then have a much bigger one next year. You know, all the funds have to be committed by the end of 2024 and spent by the end of 2026. So I don't feel a lot of pressure, even though we've got some folks in our community that would like to, you know, participate in this and be able to be helped by these funds. We really want to make sure we do it right. And knowing that we have money for matches for, you know, we can use the ARPA funds, some of that for matches for ready for, you know, road projects. So it's kind of putting that puzzle together. And so it's happening. It's just very deliberate pace.
You know, something you said really struck me last month. You said Terre Haute had their biggest tax cap impact, over $15 million that the city couldn't collect in an approved budget because of the tax caps. And it just really struck me on how big a number that is, because how big is the budget?
Well, we get about $25 million a year in property tax revenue. So for all of our funds that get property taxes, if you had that extra $15 million, you know, you'd have $40 million you're collecting. And a lot of people still say, oh, the tax caps, that's old news. You know, that happened years ago now. That doesn't have any impact on today, but it absolutely does. Assessed values have been going up a little bit, finally, in Vigo County. But that doesn't mean you collect more tax money. It just means the calculation may show you owe more, but then the tax caps kick in. And so you get a credit and you don't have to pay all of that. So when you kind of look at our general operating funds overall, you know, you're talking about that $25 million being a pretty significant portion of that revenue. And yet you're leaving $15 million on the table. So I get it. Nobody wants to pay more property taxes, you know, and that's why the tax caps came in. But people need to remember that even though assessed values go up, that doesn't mean we collect more. That's the bottom line.
And just to compare that to the total city budget, how big is the city budget?
Well, the entire city budget is about $108 million, about $105 million, I should say. $105 million. I was thinking that 8% increase. Sorry. $105 million. And so we get $25 million in revenue out of that. 108 that's directly property taxes that go to serve people. There are some TIF revenues in there, some TIF property tax dollars, but those can only be used for TIF projects. So when you look at the property tax component that comes in that we deliver services with, it's 25 million of that 105 million.
So we can see why every year when we talk about the Indiana General Assembly thinking about cutting taxes or cutting the business personal property tax, what you said could be another 5 or 6 million a year, how that affects the city budget.
Exactly. That would be devastating to us. You know, we've survived the property tax caps, and even though they're the biggest number in 22 that we've ever had since 2009, we've balanced the budget. But if we take another hit through a business personal property tax with no replacement revenue, I mean, you're talking about now having $20 million or a little less a year to fund a budget like that versus 25 million. That would just be very devastating to all municipalities and counties too. It would be a shockwave.
You mentioned about preparing for the Ready Grant. I don't think it's been officially announced yet, but these are projects that have to be ready to go. So knowing that there most likely will be another Ready Grant coming from the state, what projects are you looking at to be ready?
So, you know, this year's Ready Grant, Ready One, if you will, we funded several projects locally, but not all of them. So we were hoping to get 50 million. We got 20 million for the region. So the team had to go back and figure out, okay, who's getting what? So one, not everything got funded at the level we wanted it to, and then other things didn't get funded at all. So I'm sure a lot of those projects will come back in another round of Ready, hopefully, that the legislature will approve in this next session. And there'll probably be some new projects. So it'll be, you know, there's no clear path to that. But all the projects we proposed the first time we felt were important. And so I'm sure they'll come back. And then, as I said, there'll be some new ones, but probably funded at not a huge, giant a dollar amount level. They may have to do a planning process dollar amount, or they have to raise some additional funds. Their match has to be bigger than what we'd have thought, because if we get 50 million, we're still spreading it across multiple counties. So I think we're in a great spot. We're doing exactly what the IEDC has asked us to do, but we'll have to open that process up again if they approve another round of Ready funds in the next legislative session.
Well, that's something you touched upon too last month, the workforce development plan. Can you tell us what that is and what you're aiming to do with that?
So, you know, I hear from mayors and others all across the state all the time about how we don't have enough people. There aren't enough people to take the jobs that we have open. Here in West Central Indiana, really just about a four or five county area, we've probably got 1,500 jobs that are available, a lot of them in manufacturing, some in healthcare and others that need to be filled. And yet we're not getting that to happen. So our local people who would normally be in that pool are choosing not to take those jobs. So we've got to make the pool bigger. We need to bring people into our community. It goes back to quality of life, quality of place, access to daycare, housing availability. All those pieces are kind of part of that workforce development puzzle. There's the job training component and getting people prepared for these jobs. And so we're trying to look at it from a holistic perspective. I brought a group of people together a few weeks ago, our four college and university presidents, our workforce development team, our economic development folks, our commissioners, county council, city council representation, and myself, and said, listen, we got to do something. That we can't just keep doing the same things we've always been doing, because the pool is not getting bigger. And so as part of our community plan, we want to improve the quality of life, quality of place here by creating amenities and improvements of infrastructure. But this workforce development piece kind of stands on its own, that it's kind of all those things. And so we're going to have a second meeting with all of our manufacturers here before long and find out what their needs are overall, find out where the priorities are, and we're going to figure out a way to help partner with them and fund these things to make it easier for them to recruit and retain employees. So I think it's going to be a long-term effort. It's not just a drop in the bucket, kind of a quick hit, but we're really starting something that we've never done before, to have a total community collaboration effort going on to help our manufacturers, help healthcare, help our education segment. They're all struggling with finding enough employees to fill the jobs that they need. And so we're going to help them get qualified for that. We're going to help bring new people to the table and figure out what we can do to sustain that over the long term.
And something I'm sure goes along with that, we talked about with Mayor Lynn up in Columbus last week. Well, we're talking with everyone about this is housing. I know Indiana had a task force forum, State House reporter reported on and talked about, you know, some cities have high rents. People are forced out of where they live. There's not enough housing. Some cities have high housing requirements that price people out. What's the situation like there in Terre Haute? I assume this is something you're dealing with too.
Yes. And so that'll be part of this workforce development plan, as I mentioned, because in order to bring new people to the community, obviously you have to have quality housing for them. So if you don't have that, all the other stuff you do may not even have a bearing. So we know that's important. Thrive West Central, one of our local economic development arms, is working and finalizing. I mean, we should take delivery of this document in the next couple of weeks, but a housing study for this region. The state is doing their housing allowances and looking at, in this next ready grant, there's going to be a carve out of money just for housing. We're looking at ARPA funds to do housing. We're looking at new casino revenues that are going to be coming into our community to help with housing. So that may be in the form of builder incentive programs. It may be in the form of constructing things and selling them, you know, to facilitate more market activity. It might be all of the above. I mean, we need more high quality apartment buildings. There are some people that they want to own, they want to rent. Rents are going up here. We have an old housing stock here. So we tear houses down, we get a few new ones built, but we're going to have to ramp that up. So it's another one of those kind of across the board approaches that some things may work better in one community than they do in another, but we know we need a little bit of everything here. We need to hit all of the housing availability needs to grow in all those areas. We need to have more options on the table. So we'll roll that plan out over the coming months. We're just waiting on this study to come back first to confirm what we kind of already know, but to give us the baseline to move forward with our incentives to be able to help build this out.
This kind of takes us to the 12 points area too. Some people may not be familiar with that who don't live in Terre Haute. Can you give us a little brief background on that? And especially now because City Council looking to change the area's zoning to try to attract more businesses.
So there's been a lot of activity in the 12 points area. It's an area on the north central side of the city that used to be a bustling retail area, you know, back in the day, as people like to say. It's seen a resurgence of small business come in there. It's had a lot of, you know, hits over the years, but it's seen a lot of energy, the passion from a group that is up there, the 12 Points Revitalization Committee. The city has partnered with them, and I hired a local firm to develop a strategic plan that will become public here in the next week or so that we're excited about to kind of take us what the next 5 years might look like. And one of the pieces of that, one of the conversations we've had is, should the zoning in that area up there mirror what we have in downtown? There's some certain restrictions and some certain things you need to do. But at the end of the day, it provides some guardrails, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, building up to the sidewalk as an example, or needing a variance to not do that. Putting some things in place that will make it it develops out the way we want our downtown to develop. So we have another node, if you will, that will have the same guidelines in place and same rules from a zoning perspective. So the residents, the owners, business owners up there seem to be excited about that. We're good with it from the city's perspective. And hopefully this will be another tool to encourage development, but be responsible development in that area. And I think bigger and brighter things are even coming up there. I mean, a lot has happened, but now we're looking for bigger things.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. One more thing, I know we got to get going. The city had the Moonlight on the Wabash event held by Riverscape, as the city is embracing the Wabash River as an economic activity, amenity. I did see the art fountain, of course, when I was there last time, and the sculpture in front of City Hall. So what's new in that endeavor?
So the biggest thing that I can report on is as a local community, we are working together to hire a consultant to develop our next 10-year plan for the Wabash River. Our other plan was completed in 2008, so it was time for us to do that. And what's exciting is to see all the partners coming together. I mean, they see that we've made progress. Some would like faster progress. I get that. But we need to kind of reestablish the beachhead, if you will, that here's what we've accomplished, here's what our targets are, kind of that low-hanging fruit, mid-range things, and more of the longer-term things. We're working with the Army Corps of Engineers. We've hired a consultant to develop the Fairbanks Park Master Plan that will fold right into the riverfront plan. There's a lot of things going on with the riverfront. It just, if you go look at it, you would say, I'm not seeing anything, but behind the scenes, there's a tremendous amount of activity. And I would expect over the next 10 years, we'll see 2 to 3 times as much development and growth that we've seen over the past 10 years. We've really ramped this up to take it to another level. So I'm excited about that. The river's an important part of our community, and people are beginning to embrace that. And you're going to see much more investment, both public and private investment.
Really quick, have you heard anything about the Larry Bird Museum and the Convention Center? Is it?
We continue to work with Larry Bird's agent to get the materials all identified of what's going to be in it. The build out is underway. We hope to open it next year, but I don't want to pin ourselves down because it seems like we run into a little obstacle every time we do that. But the goal would be to get it open next year at some point.
Well, that was all I had. Did you have anything that you'd like to add? Any announcements or special news?
I don't think so. As we always talk, we're kind of wrapping up the construction. We're moving into the fall. The students are back. ISU's homecoming's coming up. That's always kind of a big deal in our community. There's just a lot of excitement, a lot of festivals going on, a lot of events outdoors. And I love this time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year. And I just hope we have a nice, long, extended fall and winter doesn't come too quickly. And then the new year comes and then it all starts all over again. So it's an exciting time in Terre Haute right now.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, Joe.